With us now, educator Te Atakura Pewharangi was brought up in Te Ao Māori and is committed to promoting Te Reo Māori wherever and whenever she can. She's completed a Bachelor of Arts and Teaching degree entirely in Te Reo Māori and is currently doing a Master's majoring in Māori Studies at Massey University. She's also the Māori Student Recruitment Advisor there. And Te Atakura has just added published author to her skills, aiming to engage young readers with her bilingual children's book, board book, Kei te aha ngā kararehi. What are the animals doing? Tēnā koe, nau mai, haere mai. Welcome to 9 to Noon.
Tēnā rā koe. Thank you for having me.
You are most welcome. And there's plenty else going on in life as well. Raising family as well, raising Pepe. And a really mixed and various career. Let's go back, Te Atakura, to the, I guess, the genesis of this. And reo speaker first and foremost, were you one of a generation that had this benefit, this opportunity of immersion in the language?
Absolutely. I'm one of the privileged ones that was raised with te reo Māori being my first language. But a result of that is my father and my grandmother, you know, not growing up with their heritage language. So my parents made the commitment when they had tamariki was to ensure that they had their language, they knew their culture, and that's what we're doing, and I continue to do with my tamariki now.
This has been the reo itself, but also language and performance has been part of your life from a young age. You've worked in television, as an MC at events, the secondary school's kapa haka. Is it natural for you to speak and to speak publicly?
Yeah, it always has been quite something that I've done from a very young age, and it was something that we did at Kohanga Reo and naturally progressed into kura kaupapa Māori and whare kura, you know, getting up and doing our pepeha in front of the school and in front of teachers was something that we've done from a very young age. And so naturally coming out of kura, coming out of school, it was moved into working, you know, in television and emceeing events. So it's, yeah, performing arts is in our blood, I would like to call it.
Completing a degree entirely in te reo Māori, again, has that long been an option for many students?
Unfortunately, it hasn't. My father's mother was strapped at school for speaking te reo Māori, so te reo Māori wasn't anything, you know, that my father grew up around. It wasn't until he was at tertiary that he picked up te reo Māori, and so it hasn't been. But I think back to, you know, 1840, the Crown and Māori were committed to a bilingual, a bicultural nation. And to me, you know, the Treaty of Waitangi is the implementation of that. And so we've seen lots of different policies by the government in recent times that's bringing back, you know, te reo Māori, ensuring we are normalising the language. You know, we hear it on our Air New Zealand aeroplanes, we hear it on our television and our radio airways. So it's becoming more normal, but there's still a gap and there's still more that we can do.
Do you feel a responsibility as a fluent native speaker who had that chance right from the start to be part of the kaupapa now, to be part of the movement now?
Oh, absolutely. But I think, you know, we all have a role to play in this. You know, as Māori, as tangata whenua, we know our role is to ensure that, you know, we continue to nurture the language and continue to speak the language with our tamariki, but so do our treaty partners, you know. And I think the role that they play is important for them to understand their role in ensuring we normalise te reo Māori, and we're seeing more and more of that in radio and television, and that our language provides for not only Māori but all New Zealanders. You know, this conversation that we're having at the moment is critical. We all have an important part to play in this, and I hope and that everyone champions the language, you know, not just me, privileged enough to be raised with Te Reo Māori being, you know, my first language, but normalising simple greetings, ensuring we're pronouncing names correctly, as we know the language is the window into one's culture.
Can you extend on that thought, please? Because for people who wonder why and why, may question why they should be doing this or should even be listening in some cases, can you explain that last point? It is the window into culture. It is a window into people.
I think it's as important as, you know, having your name pronounced correctly. You know, I can guarantee for Pākehā, you know, it's for non-Māori, having their names pronounced correctly is really important to them. It's part of them. It's who they are. And for Māori, it's very much so the same. You know, for a lot of us, we hold ancestors' names. And so when, you know, hearing our place names pronounced incorrectly, hearing our names pronounced incorrectly, you know, we as Māori know it's our history, you know, dates back way before us. And so it's not only disheartening for us, but for our parents, our grandparents, our tipuna and our ancestors and all those that paved the way for us to ensure that we still have te reo Māori here in Aotearoa.
Let's talk about puka puka. Let's talk about books. What was available for you when you were growing up? Your parents were educators, but what was available for you? And again, you had that opportunity for learning the reo right from a young age and for an immersion education. But what was available by means of literature, in particular literature in te reo?
Yeah, I think back to my childhood and we had what I thought were amazing resources. We had a lot of laminated books, and it wasn't until I was a little bit older that I understood that, you know, our parents and our teachers worked tirelessly to translate hundreds of books for tamariki Māori at the time to ensure we had things to read. It wasn't until I was at high school that we started to see, you know, more colourful books that weren't laminated or didn't have white sticky notes in front of the English translation.
So your mum would do that? She'd actually put sticky notes with a real-time translation on it?
She did. She translated her along with, you know, many other teachers. They translated hundreds of books because there just was not enough resources. And that's just what they did, and that was just what's normal. But we don't want to normalise that. We want to close the gap. You know, there's still a huge gap in quality te reo Māori resources for whānau, for tamariki. So a huge motivation of this puka puka, of this book, is to create more resources to ensure that we are no longer having to translate hundreds of books from English to te reo Māori.
Well, tamariki are avid readers. We know this. Children just go through books like they're, I don't know, lollies, don't they?
Absolutely.
And so the supply actually needs to be, it can't just be a few. It needs to be continuous and age-related and replenished.
Absolutely. You know, I'm in the library every week with my tamariki, and the resources in English that we have for our tamariki is phenomenal, is huge. And so one day I would love for, you know, our te reo Māori books to be just as plentiful, to ensure that we have a reo Māori book for all the different technologies that we are seeing created, you know, on a weekly basis, and ensuring that all our television shows and cartoon characters have books that are translated into te reo Māori for our tamariki and for our whānau that do have Māori-speaking children at home, to show them that, you know, te reo Māori is outside the home. It's you know, I think that plays a huge role in ensuring that we are normalising te reo Māori for our tamariki, for our children and whānau, not just Māori whānau, but whānau throughout Aotearoa.
And so says Dora the Explorer, right? Because were you the were the voice of Dora in the Māori
I
translation?
Was.
Yeah.
A few years ago, we translated Dora the Explorer and SpongeBob into Te Reo Māori, and that was huge. You know, to have an international character translated into Te Reo Māori was huge. You know, tamariki Māori. I remember growing up watching Dora, and to have that translated into Te Reo Māori for my daughter was just something else. And, you know, to see Moana, you know, be accessible to whānau and Te Reo Māori. And in the recent weeks, we've seen that The Lion King and Frozen are in developments at the moment, to have those translated into Te Reo Māori. So there's some amazing things that people are doing, and our media industry are doing, to ensure that we normalise Te Reo Māori and we have access to these resources for whānau.
It's a pukapuka we're going to talk about in the moment, but as you mentioned, there's all sorts of technologies now. There's digital books, there's videos. We know that rangatahi and tamariki love their videos. And again, do you see it broadening, the project broadening to reach and give opportunities wherever it's happening?
Absolutely. This is the first puka puka. So, you know, after the first, we call it our trial puka puka, our trial book. So we know for the next books that we are looking to do, there will be an audio version. As we know, some tamariki or learners like to listen to puka puka, and that helps with pronunciation too for whānau. So, ensuring that we're covering all the different avenues that we can learn Te Reo Māori.
Let's talk about this first board book, and that's always good because they can be chewed on. There are beautiful pictures, and absolutely beautiful pictures in here. But what was the premise and the starting point, I guess, for Kei Te Aha Ngā Kararehe? What are the animals doing?
Well, the photos were taken prior to me coming on board and putting the sentences to the pictures, and they are beautiful photos that one of our photographers at Massey University captured of this whānau from the far north. And so when I saw these photos, it was immediate to me, and learning the language, I know asking questions is a great way to encourage speaking. And so it kind of just clicked that we wanted to follow a pattern of questions, which opens up a conversation between whānau, between parents, between caregivers and children. As I know, I've got a 6 and a 4-year-old who have just so many questions. So that was the motivation behind this puka puka, was to follow a question answer pattern. And that was to ensure that we're encouraging speaking in the home.
So that is the pattern. Kei te aha te punua kuri. What is the puppy doing? Kei te titiro te punua kuri. The puppy is looking. So question, answer, question, answer, which is a way young children begin those conversations, I guess. And they can also carry on the conversations. Because,
absolutely.
Yeah. The hens might be pecking, but then what are they doing on that mound? And, you know, what's behind that fence? And what is
why
this?
Why are they that colour?
And can you hold a chicken that way? Like, can you hold a hen like that? So it opens
so
up broader combos.
Further broadens the children's vocabulary around animals. But one thing that I did find with my own tamariki that it did also raise the question, Mum, can we get a horse? Mum, can we buy chickens? So I do warn parents that for those that don't have animals at home, that it does raise that question too, is can we get a horse? Interesting.
This beautiful little rapiti won't do any harm at all.
Absolutely.
For sure. So this is the first book, but I'm presuming not the last. Are you going to be interested in writing perhaps as your own tamariki age, or are you looking beyond them and thinking, okay, what is a logical series? What are your thoughts about the future?
Yeah, so we're currently working on new puka puka, which looks at places that we as parents take our tamariki, so the papatākaro, the playground, the shops, ngā toa. So that's something we're looking into, and the different things that we see at the playground, the different things we see at shops. Because I know back in the day, we just had a swing and a slide, but now there's merry-go-rounds and rock climbing, different things that that our tamariki exposed to at the park. So ensuring that we as parents have these kupu to feed our tamariki, that's in the pipeline. Also a Māori alphabet book, that's something that I want to look to do as well in the near future. So yeah, you know, developing with my tamariki, but ensuring that we are you know, we have alphabet books, we have books with just kupu, you know, simple words, and then following on with more complicated books such as, you know, question answer patterns, and eventually might get into, you know, books that our teenagers can read.
Yeah. Te Atakura Pewharangi is our guest. She is an educator and now an author. You're listening to 9 to Noon on RNZ National, 27 minutes past 10 it is on 9 to Noon. In addition to this, you are still studying, yeah?
I am, yep. Due to finish with my master's thesis that is due any time now, so... Wow. Hoping to have this done before my third pepe, my third baby arrives in September. So we've got a few weeks to get that finished up.
It's a busy life. Tell me how important education, as we mentioned, I think you went quite young into TV, didn't you? Straight out of school.
Yeah, I was 17 at the time when I moved from Palmerston North, little old Palmerston North, to the Big Smoke here in Tāmaki Makaurau. Very young, but really very, you know, very lucky to have parents that supported me in that move, and they understood the important role that, you know, the media industry played in revitalising and normalising our language. So they were all for it. Although I was young, it has paid off.
Was that the motivation that you saw in broadcasting, the platform, I guess?
Yeah, one of the you know, as we know, Crown agencies such as, you know, television plays a huge role in ensuring that we are ensuring, you know, sustainability for our language, normalization for our language. And the show that I moved to Auckland to be part of was a children's program called Pukana, which was 100% Reo Māori show. So leaving Māori medium school where we only spoke to Reo Māori, coming into a kaupapa or program that only spoke Māori, was a natural progression from high school into my early adult life. So it was great. It worked for me and is, something I will always hold dear to my heart.
How much, though, has education meant to you, including higher education in time?
Well, I think, you know, growing up with both my parents as educators, it's always been part of our life. I left school, went into television, but then did my studies to become a teacher. So, you know, teaching and educating has always been part of my upbringing. You know, at Kohanga and at Kura, we're taught from a very young age the notion or the principle of tuakana taina, you know, the looking at how we as tuakana, as older siblings, nurture our taina. And in Te Reo Māori, we have our kupu ako, which is to teach, but it's also to learn. And so from a young age, we were always taught to ako, to learn, but also to teach. And so it's naturally just been part of my whole life.
You've also worked as a teacher in Kura at secondary school, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have. Yep, I was privileged enough to be a secondary school teacher at a Māori school in Palmerston North, Manukura. I was a reo Māori, reo rangatira teacher there, so teaching te reo Māori to our young rangatahi in Palmerston North. And yeah, that was the pathway that I wanted to take at the time, but somehow finished up that study and went into tertiary, teaching at tertiary. So
only 27, I should say. Like, you feel like you should be about 50 with this CV, but anyway. And also, of course, your first pepe at 21 and still studying at 21. So this has just been a very full juggling act, yeah?
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, growing up with the community that I was raised in, this was just normal. You know, I'm asked, oh, you must be so busy. Busy is just the new norm.
I think your oldest was just a few weeks old when you graduated. That must have been pretty special.
Yeah, it was. She was the motivation, one of the motivations behind me completing my studies. As we know, you know, being young, being Māori, being parents can sometimes be barriers, you know, that stop us from reaching our full potential. But she was my drive. You know, I looked at my pepe and wanted to ensure that I got my qualifications and got a degree to ensure that, you know, we as a whānau had a good life and further education, we know, you know, helps us in our development and in everything that we do.
However, we have got quite a high departure rate of Māori students you know, the results in the first year typically not so great for Māori. And what is that? Very interesting that you did your whole degree in te reo. But is it broader than that? Is there a transition that is an issue for many in our universities?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, 3 out of 4 Māori fail in their first year at university. I was lucky enough to have so many Māori educators around me during my first year of study, and that's really important. The notion of collective learning, you know, ensuring that when our Māori tauira, Māori students go to university, that they're not left by themselves, that there is that responsibility of whānau, of community to ensure that that they do stay in it. And so, which is kind of why I've led more into student recruitment advising, is to ensure that Māori have access to all providers in our universities and places that can access help during their first year of studying at our universities.
As we said, resources are forever the issue because there's such a hungry appetite for them. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting during lockdown, this was another initiative of yours. there is no rest. I think 4 days after lockdown, what was the initiative you launched with your brothers, please? This is our Kura Mōnga.
Yeah, Kura Mōnga Mokopuna was the kaupapa, the program that me, my siblings and a cousin of mine launched during the COVID-19 lockdown. I had my two children with me at home during the lockdown, and we saw the need to create an online Māori language teaching resource to ensure that I kept not only my own children occupied and stimulated, but all other Māori-speaking children and families across Aotearoa. You know, one thing that we did find was that loss of community, you know, that sense of community. And so that's what we had created online, is that sense of community, staying together. We held on to the whakatauki, mā te pāharakeke, whakatipu, a tātou tamariki. It takes a village to raise our tamariki. So we didn't want to leave our village in their own whare. So we launched this kaupapa where we contacted, you know, lecturers and experts in astronomy and real experts and scientists and teachers and They were given the task to teach our tamariki something twice a day during the working week, Monday to Friday, and that we pulled it together in 24 hours, and it was definitely one of my favourite projects of 2020.
Te atakura, there's also the issue of teachers saying we want to teach, we want to do it well, but you know, we need the resources and we need the help. And I think this is yet another involvement of yours, yes, as the ministry tries to step up the resourcing, yeah?
Yeah. Well, in recent policies by the government, you know, the audacious goal is that in 2040, they're expecting 1 million New Zealanders will speak Te Reo Māori. And furthermore, in 2025, there's a push for normalising Te Reo. So just this week, the Ministry of Education have launched one of the many projects, Te Ahu o Te Reo, which is providing every teacher, every staff member from early childhood education to tertiary the opportunity to learn the language by experienced, qualified teachers. And I feel so privileged to be able to be part of that kaupapa. I'll be teaching in the Auckland area, but all our teachers and all our staff members in our education sector have access to this program, Te Ahu o Te Reo. It'll be taught and delivered across Aotearoa. And so I look forward to, you know, these audacious goals and ensuring that we normalise the language.
What do you do in your spare time?
What is spare time?
Kia ora, best. All the best for the forthcoming arrival. And ngā mihi nui, te ātakura pia whārangi. And her book is Kei te aha ngā kararehi, What Are the Animals Doing?